Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. Our guest today is Aaron Smith. Aaron started in 2015 by wholesaling single-family homes, quickly expanded into rentals and Airbnbs. In 2019, he joined Jake and Gino, and in 2022, he went on to purchase a 20-unit building, followed by investing in a 96 units in Kansas. Welcome to the show, Aaron. How are you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing good. Feeling great. Thank you guys for having me. Feel pleasure and honor to be here, man. So thank you.
And the honor is ours and the pleasure is ours. And what I love about the Jake and Gino community, a lot of the students get in, but they don't get in having experience in multifamily. They're in the single family space or in the wholesaling space. How did you start out in the real estate business? Because I know you've got another business. What drew you to real estate?
It's always been something that I've enjoyed. I lived in New York for a while, in Jersey City in the Heights. So I used to do rentals, you know, in Manhattan. So I did that. That was, coming from Houston and Texas, the rental market, it was totally different. And so I was like, okay, hold on, we're doing what again? It was almost like, sales. But, going to see these properties anywhere from, you know, the Lower East Side, and this is around, this time frame is probably around 06, you know, around there. So seeing some of the old historic, and then, you know, you go to Gramercy and then you're seeing the, you know, the top luxury buildings. So it was just amazing. Then went to Virginia for a little bit. Then my dad wasn't doing well. So that's what kind of, I'm from Houston, but that's what drew me back. And I said, once I got back, and this was around 2014, I started listening to, you know, a lot of podcasts on real estate. And then I clicked on the wholesaling, and that was kind of the start of my journey, was in 2014. And then probably 2015, I got enough information and knowledge, and I even got some coaching there. You know, I got coaching there, and like I tell anybody, I think coaching is, you know, and I used to didn't look at it the way I look at it now. I used to be like, but I got coaching there just from the podcast. Then I got physical coaching. I started off paying like $400. It was every other Thursday, and then I got more coaching, and I think I might have paid like $5,000. But honestly, in that first 30 days or something, I mean, we closed two deals, and I think I got like $12,000. So, you know, I got it back and then some. And I think if you just apply to coaching and just stick with it, it's, you know, it can be rough and sometimes things can be discouraging, but if you stick with it, I think the coaching is good. But that was kind of my start into real estate, was the wholesaling, and did some fix and selling and ran into some bumps there because I didn't have a crew. And but I just stuck it out, and I think that's kind of the key to the game.
And what led you to multifamily? Once you're doing the wholesaling and the single family homes, the transactions are great. You're making a few bucks, and all of a sudden, like you said, you're spending $5,000 or $6,000. All of a sudden, your ROI is 12. You're doubling it. But what led you to multifamily? What was it for you that said, I need to start making equity and start creating wealth?
I looked into multifamily back in like 2004 and read books.
Was it the pie in the sky? Like, I can't do this. I need tons of money to do this. This is right. Who owns these buildings? Was that the mindset for you?
So you hit it. Yeah. Right on the nail, exactly. And when you look at it, then you start to really see how much that product costs, and you're like, all right, wow, you got a, you know, 20% of that. Okay, whoa. So I really just backed off. And then once I got into doing the wholesaling, I went and I just got more, I just started looking to it more. And then the key thing was really educating myself, making the right connections, and getting into networking groups and learning more. And really nothing has changed, but the difference is just how you maneuver. And so, because it's the same thing as, if I'm correct, as it was when I initially, you know, read that first book on it versus now where, you know, I know a core group of, network that I'm with, and, you know, I have, you know, some knowledge and experience myself. So once I got my hands on that, it was, I said, okay, I see how this could, I can see how this can work. And so that was, so it was just really, you know, kind of taking a step back, but then revisiting it again, but just in a different way.
So we're going to talk about the deal, the 20 unit deal, and I want everyone to listen to your mistakes. But this question is more geared to your older self. And for me, I call it mind belief. If you believe you can do it, you can do it. And if there's anybody out there listening right now going, yeah, Aaron, you did it. Gino, you've done it. A lot of the Jake and Gino students have done it. How do I get into multifamily? What would you say to them to start getting the multifamily? What were some of your limiting beliefs and what did you do to get into multifamily? And how can you tell the listeners out there, this is what you need to do to start getting serious about getting into the multifamily business?
You know, again, my, you know, well, you know, one thing I looked at it in the past, just, I was trying to do it just all myself. And that was, and I believe in, yeah, you definitely can, but when you're starting out, and I mean, even if I had millions, I wouldn't think it's the proper way to go. I looked at it just doing it myself, and, you know, you still can do that, but, you know, it's not, starting out, even if I had millions, I wouldn't go that route because I had no experience. Like when I started out with wholesaling, one of the lessons that I got from the guy that helped me out and coached me was that he was, when it came to marketing, he didn't recommend, even if you had the money to pay for it, until you really knew the process. And his reason for that was because if you don't know the whole process and you spending, you know, $500, $1,000, $1,500 a month, and you're not getting any deals and you don't understand the whole from the beginning to the end, then you'll feel like it doesn't work. So what I did, and it worked actually, what I did was I just used the MLS. And we found them on the MLS. It was free marketing. So once I got that first deal, that was then I started, you know, doing mail outs and things of that nature. So on the multifamily side, I would say the same thing is, you know, I went, you know, got training, got with a network, got with people that have been there, done that, and then just joined up with them. And I think that's the way to go is to, you know, to get, you know, get, you know, get with a good investment networking group. In multifamily and learn from the, you know, the guys that are coaching and then from some of the other students and all the people that are coming together with you. And I would recommend going that route. You know, even I, you know, I found this 20 unit and I took it down myself, but then, you know, cause you know, life and family and kids and all that. Then I had another deal with Kansas City came up 96, you know, much larger and not ready to take on something that like that size myself. But looked at it, did the underwriting myself from the information, and I said, hey, it's good. So I jumped in on the deal.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind if I recap that? Because you got a lot of great points in there. Okay. First thing, everybody, I think we, and I've taken notes here, so I'm looking down at my notes, is educating. You really need to get out there and educate yourself. You can jump into a venture, but I think education times action equals results, not right. Education equals results and not action equals results, because you can be taking actions, but you can be taking the wrong actions. You can be sending out mailers that don't go anywhere. You could be doing what I did, just taking massive action, not doing due diligence. So the first part is education times action, which leads into learning the process. And this is in any venture. If you're going to go out and trade crypto, I hope you don't. But if you do, you better learn their framework and their process. If you're going to learn multifamily, buy right, manage right, finance right. If you're going to go into wholesaling, spend the thousands of dollars that it takes to get into a program to learn it. I love the other things you said. It's not all by yourself. Multifamily and even single family wholesaling should be a team sport. Multifamily is definitely, because you have people who are raising capital. You have people who are looking for deals. You have people who are actually running these properties, managing these properties. Then you have asset managers. So you have so many different people doing the jobs. And if you're trying to do everything by yourself in the beginning, it may be doable, but then ultimately you're going to get burned out. Find out what you're really good at. And I think that network is important. And I think in life, most of us discount that. Being rich in relationships is what you ultimately want. That's what's going to lead to a rich life. If you can pick up your phone and you have those relationships and you can make a connection, that's what you're going to remember as you get older. Not the money you've made, not the deals you've done. And if you have those relationships and you have that network, that will allow you to accelerate so much into the multifamily space. So you laid it out all there. And as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, he laid it out so well, but mainly education, action, results. Now that 20 unit property, what did you like about that 20 unit deal when you saw it?
You know, I initially, to be honest, when I saw it a while back and I looked at it just a little bit. I didn't dig into it. And a realtor that I know, it turned me on to another property, and the guy was willing to do owner finance, but he was just asking, you know, way too much for on price. And you couldn't even make a payment. That's how much he was asking. It was so, you know, then I had another property I was looking at, but the location was good, but the surrounding area, it was, you know, a lot of abandoned homes, really centrally located in Houston. So good metropolitan area. But it just didn't. And actually, numbers had looked pretty good, too. But it just didn't call my name in a sense, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then so I revisited this 20 unit out in Conroe and it was Willis, but Montgomery County, north of Houston. And then I and actually, so I used, you know, ever since, and actually, thanks to you guys, I started using CoStar. So I ended up reaching out to the owner and we started communicating and he said, yeah, you know, for the right price and this and that. So then he sent me everything. I looked over it. And then I was in the process of, you know, about to submit, you know, the LOI. And he said, well, no, get in touch with my agent. Well, let me back up just real quick. And one reason because even here in Houston, you know, there's a lot of Jake and Gino members and everything that are here. So I go to a lot of events and some events that are not even Jake and Gino. I just go to a lot of multifamily. And so I went to multifamily. There's some guys that have been around a lot longer than myself in multifamily space. And, you know, I'm very familiar with the city. And I know a lot about North Houston, Montgomery County, and that's really growing. And, you know, one of the guys, one of the questions, like, where would you look? He said, Montgomery County. And so all right, I know Montgomery County, you know, Conroe's growing. And so I just started to, you know, look there. And that's when kind of fast forwarding, and that's when I found that 20 unit. So got in touch with the agent. I looked at the property. It was, you know, the neighbor, it was a, you know, nice neighborhood. Everything was kind of in a transition. The property actually looked pretty solid on the, you know, on the outside. When I saw the exterior of it, I saw some of the changes as I went through and I really looked at it, where I could add some value and make a difference. And just the structure of the building was solid. And so that was kind of what, you know, what drew me in. And then once, you know, I looked at the numbers, I did my own underwriting, and then, you know, my man, Bill helped me out, you know, I did it, got in touch with Bill. We looked over it together and, you know, at the end of it, he said, well, look, what are you waiting for? You know, so
I got to cut in here for a second, because if Bill Hamm is telling you what are you waiting for, then you've got a deal there. Because, yeah, right. You know, I think one of the mottos that I want to say about Jake and Gino is I want it to say Jake and Gino saved my ass.com. That's what I want, because that's ultimately what we're trying to do. We're trying to teach people not to buy real estate. Right. And that's the important thing. If you can say no to a deal, no deal is better than a bad deal. So you're passing on deals. And that can be frustrating. You're learning the process and you keep getting rejected. You keep getting rejected, but that's okay. And that's what coaching there is there for. There's a lever. You can bring a deal. The coach is not going to tell you to yes, buy the deal, or no, not buy the deal. They're going to give you their input, and then they're going to make you look at any blind spots. You may have some blind spots. You may fall in love with the deal. You may have that get there right. I got to do this deal. But the coach is there to balance your enthusiasm with logic and reason and rationality. Then you need the emotion. Once it's all there and the coach gives you the great green light and he says, this deal actually makes sense. The numbers make sense. I see your business plan. I can see your pro forma. You can get to it. Then Bill gives you the green light. You get the green light. I want to fast forward. What mistakes did you make on the deal? Because this is how we always learn. We don't learn by our successes. I bought the deal. I made X amount of money. That's great. That's sexy. But we got to dive into, oh, you know what? I couldn't raise enough money. I overpaid. The residents were bad. What pain points did you have on this property?
Oh, man.
I see the smile over there because I can feel the pain coming right now, my friend.
This is, look, I love that question. So, and being part of Jake and Gino and everything you guys have said, within, purchasing, large units or small units. And I know how you guys have started out with a 25 unit. So went in, all due diligence was really good. One of the things first out was is with the property, and I got a lot of little stuff to tell. And we're still in transition. So, and it really was the tenant base is what one of the main goals besides, changing the appearance exterior is just the resident base of much of more solid residents. So the old owner really, he was, and from talking to him, seemed like he had experience, but he was more hands-on. Like he would go pick up rent. You know, I don't do any of that.
He was a mom and pop is what you're saying, basically. Right. He was the quintessential mom and pop. He may seem as if he has it all control, but does he have systems? Is he running it like a business, or is he running it as if he's the landlord? And there's nothing wrong with that, but when you're running as a landlord, you're stepping over dollars to pick up pennies is what actually happens.
Right. And so, so changing that tenant base. So one of the things now, and I got management, I feel like kind of started out good. We sat down for lunch, went over things, kind of told them, how I would be. And just, if you guys need anything, I'm still here, even though, you guys are running the show, but I'm not just, all right, here you guys go. And then I'm gone. Management started out good. And I think honestly, I say this, to maybe should have kept a little more eye on them, because my role, what I did a lot of is people moved out, I kind of went in and said, all right, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. So I did all of that, and no one knows that I own the property even to this day. I just tell them I'm part of management and quality control. But we ran into a scenario, situation where, management wasn't responding. And I thought it was one or two people. And man, I got, they were coming at me, but they had every right to, honestly. And then I thought it was just one or two not communicating, but it really came down to they was not communicating with probably half of the tenants. And some of it was just residents would just have a question and they couldn't communicate. So, and this was all probably around last year, July, when the first situation happened, and then it just kind of snowballed. And I remember, watching you guys, and one of the things y'all said, if you're having a problem with management, to bring it up, I addressed it with them and told them what the resident told me. And, we went back and forth and, talked to them again. And the thing was, is that, it was the same old thing, just not really communicating. And everyone said the exact same thing. So what I ended up doing was, I ended up, said, okay, I have to take over because I'm in the process of changing the property exterior, but I felt like internally they were, as I'm trying to, totally change the look of the property, internally, I felt like they were bringing it down, and so probably around August or September, I made arrangements and told myself, okay, I'm gonna take over. And it was supposed to be September, and then I said November. And so I was trying to really understand the software that I got and prepare myself as much as possible. So it ended up happening December. December 1 is when I took over last year. And another thing is, one thing I found out, people were reaching out to try to, rent some of the apartments when they're available, and they wasn't getting back to them. So one of the things that I have learned is like, and I, you know, you guys said it and say it and say it. It is much easier because now, you know, I got a guy that I work with, but what I was gonna say is it's so much easier. Kind of what I think I wish I kind of would have did, but I don't regret it. But when I think about it, is, you know, maybe reached out, I mean, scaled and try to do, you know, 50 to 60, you know, because then you got leasing on staff. You can have, you know, full time and then maybe a part time maintenance guy. So, you know, everything is working now, but it's just been that transition that I've been having to, you know, to go through. And like I say, that wasn't. And I remember, you know, starting out, I was like, nah, I'm gonna do management. Then midway of the deal, I said, well, nah, you know, I think I'll take over. But since it was my first deal, the finance company I'm using, they wouldn't allow me to, even though I, you know, the Airbnbs and all of that, they still wouldn't allow me to manage it. But and so I got management company, and then like I say, December 1, I took over just because of that, because we just got, you know, a tremendous amount of complaints. And
so, Aaron, what I would say to all the listeners out there, that's one of the benefits of starting small. Can you imagine if you'd start with a 100-unit property and you don't have systems in place and you've never done it before? Right. It's doable. We've got a lot of students who've started with larger properties. That's why Jake and I started with a smaller property. I am more of a kinesthetic learner. I am more of a person who wants to do, and that's how I learn. So for me, 25 units, when we started out, I was able to reposition those units, you know, at my timetable. I was able to do a lot of the work. And I think, you know, that's what I think people have to understand. And as you're doing this, you have a 20 unit. Now what you can do on your next deal, you can buy another 10 unit or 50 unit and start putting these smaller deals together, which is what we're doing in our market. And you can do that. So don't think, everybody out there, my first deal has to be 100 units. You may have to, you know, buy that smaller property and learn on that smaller property and then get the experience. And then a 20 unit, your next deal is going to be a 30 unit. Now you've got 50 units and you can get some resident managers or you know, bigger property management company. So those are, I love those learning lessons out there. And I think, Aaron, the other thing was, you probably weren't respecting it as a true business that we always talk about. This is a business. You have to like manage the asset. You don't have to manage the property. You have to manage that property manager. That's really important. One more question before I let you go, and I want to wrap up.
Pick back off what you said, and that's how I looked at it too. As a, you know, with the transition of me coming into place as management, and that's one of the things is, and again watching the training videos on management from you guys is, you know, now going forward, you know, I know the okay, but why is this? If I, you know, when I get management, because I know it from the ground up. I'm going through it literally as we speak, you know, day to day. So
that's awesome.
I think that is the benefit. And so going forward, you know, it'll be hard to pull the wool over my eyes. You know what I mean? So that, you know, even though I say, well, God, maybe I should have went 50, but, you know, we're still out there. We're doing good, changing, but I'm able to, I know the ins and outs and everything.
And the other thing I think that people discount is Aaron's got friends and family that are asking him what he's doing. If he had never gotten into the business, he would never be able to have those conversations. But now he can have an intelligent conversation and say, hey, I've got a 20 unit here. The rents are 600, let's say. They're going up to 800. I'm managing the property. This is what a return looks like. And all of a sudden, you can have an intelligent conversation and you have credibility. So don't be put off by not doing a small deal because, oh, everyone's told me that I have to scale up and there's not economies of scale. That's not the goal in the very beginning. The goal when you're first starting out as a new investor, all you're trying to do is to try to get a deal that makes sense. And once that deal makes sense, you close on it. Then the goal is to buy another deal that makes sense. You close on that and then you're off to the races, because the person that Aaron started out with in multifamily is not the person that is going to become the next 2 to 3 years. You need to shed that identity, because in the beginning, you're the I'm a person. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to get pulled the wool over my eyes, like Aaron said, because he's going to understand the processes. You're going to take some lumps and some bruises like everything else in life. But then ultimately, 18 months or 24 months later, you're going to be able to look at deals and say, I can buy this deal. I like the management on this deal. I like the location. I can fix it. It's a value add. Whatever that is, you have the conversation. But if you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to do a deal for that right deal to come, that's 100 units plus, that's not the goal. The goal is to jump in. Last question, Aaron, for me. what has multifamily allowed you to do? Because you've got a business now, and now you have the autonomy to say, I still like my business. I can stay in my business, or I can actually start transitioning into multifamily full-time down the road. It doesn't have to happen today, but there's still a plan that I have something that I can do it down the road.
Well, you know, the great thing I think with multifamily is, you know, I've met so many amazing people within. And, you know, I got a 4-year-old, and I, you know, as we've been doing a lot of this rehabs, and he's in the dump trucks and excavators, and we redid the parking lot. And one of the cool things was, is that, you know, to bring him along, you know, I think he, you know, he didn't have school that day, so, you know, he had to roll with me. You know, I'd never seen it. And so it was just a great experience for him to see the cement truck and to watch them, you know, pour the cement, and just to, you know, to totally redo this parking lot from when it looked really bad to, wow, here's the finished product. So at the same time, it's really giving me, you know, joy and really some courage and confidence. And it's like, okay, wow. You know what I mean? Even though, you know, and I think back, there should have been a lot of things I should have done, I didn't do. But, you know, I guess you can't, like you say, you can't cry over spoiled milk. But the thing is that what I say is that, you know, I kept digging and I kept digging and I kept digging and I kept digging, you know, and I found, the right networking group, Jake and Gino. And even in my old days of back in, I knew about you guys even back in 2015. I just didn't think, I think I was ready, but found the right networking group, man. I've met nothing but great people. And I tell you, one other thing I want to add on, like after I closed on the 20 unit, I put it up on the Facebook page, and then I had a lot of people, oh, great job. So it was, and that right there is like, you know, that feeds you even more. And then I had, what's the guy's name? I hate that I want to pronounce his name wrong. Shakira. Yes, there it is. Yeah.
So I like me some Shakira. Yes.
Yeah. And then another great thing is now after I close this one, and here's another thing. So man, it's so much, but, and I still try to reach out to owners on a smaller scale, but the agent that helped me out with it represented the owner, you know, and she started sending me 60 unit all off market. So I got with him, he reached out and tell me his name. How do I pronounce it?
Shahrir Khan. I like Shahrir.
So Shahrir reached out. She sent me a deal. We underwrote it. I sent to him. We made an offer. They declined. But, you know, so it's you know, it partnerships was just trying to form. And it's just been a great thing. So I think what multifamily has, you know, given me is, you know, like now I'm a little more busy. But, you know what, you know what I mean? I enjoy it. Now, some of the situations I don't think no one likes, but I truly enjoy going through this process and all of that. So it's like, you know, it's like you get up, you work out, and you don't want to get in there. But as soon as you get done, you're like, ah, I feel great. So, so it's, you know, networking, being able to take my kid out there and show him some of the stuff. Sometimes he's like, are we going to Willis today? I'm like, nah, we ain't gonna go today.
I love that.
Just great partnerships and meeting, you know, great people that are like-minded. And, you know, you sit around and, you know, you're supposed to meet at 7, you're only going to meet for an hour, and before you know it, it's 10 o'clock, you know what I mean? So just, you know, I would say confident courage, and, you know, I look at, you know, finally to there, just, you know, just got to keep moving.
Where can the listeners get a hold of you?
I can be reached it's Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at cityvibeproperties.com.
I'm writing that down. That's going in the show notes. Aaron at cityvibeproperties.com. I'm going to add a couple of things just to wrap the show up. The first thing is the snowball effect. And you can see the snowball effect occurring because all of a sudden you buy a deal, you get into a deal. The deal gives you problems. It gives you heartache, but you start putting effort into the deal. And then all of a sudden somebody reaches out to you, your friends, your family wants to know. Then all of a sudden Shahrir sees that you did a 20 unit deal in the community. He reaches out to you. And then all of a sudden a broker sees that you've closed a deal and they reach out to you. The snowball effect is And the compound and snowball effect is absolutely true. Get off the sidelines, start putting in offers, and start getting educated. I think the other thing to me, which is more valuable than anything else, is the ability to affect future generations. Now, you're not buying multifamily just to give to your kids. What you're doing it is you're trying to give your kids an education, you know, legacy skills. Your child is a different mindset that when you're going to work and you're getting paid as opposed to what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with any venture, but what I'm saying to you is you're doing something amazing and empowering to your child. He's seeing that you're building a business. He's seeing that you're creating something that you go out there, you're collecting rents. People are paying Aaron. Dad's getting paid by people. Well, what's he doing? How does he do that? It opens up a different set of questions and a different set of opportunities for your child and for your families when you start a business like that, because then the sky's the limit and you start creating those skills. And then all of a sudden, one day, they know that they can do it because their role models, their fathers and their mothers have been doing it over the years. And it's a completely different mind shift and mindset. So that's awesome. Everybody out there, Aaron at cityvibeproperties.com. I want to thank you for being an awesome guest today, Aaron. Go out there and let's make it happen, everybody. Thanks.
I appreciate it, guys. And look, thank you too, Gino, man. Good to see you again.
My pleasure, brother.